And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One of the wiser things that I've heard a pastor say in an answer to a question of a parishioner was an answer to a question posed about things that we do not understand. Their pastor received the question, there are so many things in the Word of God, in the theology of the church, in the history of the body of Christ that I just don't understand. The answer given was the following. We have established that there are many things about the Christian faith you do not understand. What are you doing with the things you do understand? That's a showstopper. A great response, question for a question, with the intent of proving to a person that though there are many elements of the faith that are difficult to understand, the essentials are likely well understood. And in fact, the one who complains that there are too many difficult doctrines likely does so in order to obfuscate the fact that they're not obeying the Lord in an area where they are quite sure, in fact, what the instructions are. If that's enough of a sermon for you, then you can tune out for the rest of this. Because this morning we're going to take that coin and flip it over and look at the other side. Today the question will be asked, you know what you're doing with the scriptures that you do understand. What are you doing with the scriptures you don't understand? And the case study occurs, or is presented to us in the gospel for today, the last phrase of an interaction that Jesus has with someone that he physically heals. Jesus heals 10 lepers who cry out to him saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And by the way, you've said those words today too in the Kyrie eleison, Christ, have mercy upon us. So we can establish that we are like the lepers calling out to Jesus. So far, nothing difficult. Then the scriptures say that Jesus had mercy on them and told them to go and show themselves to the priests who were the ones to decide whether a person was diseased and unclean or healed and ready to re-enter the community. These 10 men head off to the priests, not after they were healed, but before they were healed. And as they went, they found that they were cleansed. Now, there's another whole sermon there we're going to leave on the side of the road. Something about obeying the Lord, even when it's not clear how or whether he intends to solve our problems. But no problems yet, nothing difficult to understand yet. And then one man, a Samaritan, when he saw that he was healed as he walked on the road to the priests, turned around and ran back to Jesus to give thanks. And Jesus says to him, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. Nothing difficult here either. Very few people who pray to God for an answer to their sufferings receive an answer and then remember that it was God to whom they prayed for an answer to that prayer. I've witnessed this and many times as a pastor. We pray for something, God grants it, and it is as if when problem one is solved, problem two becomes problem one. And we're right back where we started, spiritually speaking. That's a problem, but we understand that problem. Then Jesus says to the Samaritan who was healed and who returned to give thanks, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And that's where the needle on the record player scratches off and the music stops. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And we want to take Jesus aside here and help him to understand. Jesus, you are the one who made those 10 men whole. When the one returned to give thanks, you should have said, your faith hath made me willing to make you whole. That would be theologically correct, Jesus. Otherwise, the man who was healed could have rightly said, if my faith hath made me whole, then why have I turned around to give thanks to you? Apparently it wasn't you, it was my faith that made me whole. Now we're scratching our heads. Jesus, you have got to fix this. You have got to call that leper back and explain to him your mistake. And as we're teaching Jesus how healing works, we begin to review his ministry and find out that in the next chapter of Luke, Jesus heals a blind beggar and tells him the same thing. Your faith hath made you whole. To the woman who touches the hem of his garment, he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. And in Matthew 8:13, Matthew 15:28, Jesus says similar words to the prostitute who washed Jesus' feet with her repentant tears. He says something more. Your faith hath saved you. And if you think all this is due to mistranslation or something like that, consider that in Matthew 13:58, quite famously, Jesus returns to Nazareth, his hometown, and was astounded to discover their lack of faith. And St. Matthew reports that Jesus did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. One pastor asks, forget about the things you do not understand for a moment. What are you doing with the things you do understand? There's a good sermon. And perhaps that's enough to go home, something to chew on for the week. But I'm asking you a different question. What are you doing with the things you don't understand? Specifically today, what are you doing with the many times that the scriptures connect an act of God with the faith of the people? If we know anything about God from a systematic theology textbook, we know that God is omnipotent and he is able to do whatever he wants for whomever he wants at any time he wants, in time, out of time, in space, out of space, with or without us or our faith. But we also know that, ironically, God is not opposed to limiting himself. At the incarnation, the second person of the Trinity took the form of an infant in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He didn't have to. But he did allow himself to be limited in that way, to be taken by soldiers, to be condemned by an unfair court, tied to a post and beaten, nailed to a cross and crucified. And at the same time that this is so utterly right for our salvation, it is so utterly wrong at the same time. The Lord of all, humiliated, crucified, buried in a tomb, that's just not right. But it's true. And likewise, Jesus several times associates his own miraculous works with the faith of those upon whom his miraculous work is done. You cannot figure that with a calculator, a slide rule, or a smartphone app. But if you want to explain to Jesus why he's wrong when he says to people that their faith hath made them whole, you might as well explain to him also why he didn't have to, for our sake and for our salvation, come down from heaven, be born of the Virgin Mary, suffer under Pontius Pilate, be crucified, dead, and buried, and on the third day rise again. He didn't have to do that either. But he did. Jesus heals people before they have faith, such as the man born blind and others. And he also gave himself for us while we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Faith was not involved in either of those instances. And the scriptures stop short of saying that Jesus could not do miracles in Nazareth because of a lack of faith, just that he did not do miracles in Nazareth because of a lack of faith. There's nothing you are going to do that will force God to do anything for you. He's not constrained by anything. And yet, by his own testimony, he has repeatedly informed us that he has chosen to bind himself to us and us to him. And not only has he done this for our eternal salvation, but he seems to imply that he has bound himself to us in such a way that our faith is connected to what he is willing to do. If you understand how that works, then you are a theological genius. And you should be writing books and go on a book tour or something. But to understand why he has done this, that's easy. Jesus Christ wants us to place our faith in him. In Christ is healing. In Christ is victory. In Christ is peace. In Christ is power. In Christ is life. There are plenty of scriptures that you do understand. What are you doing with the scriptures that you can't understand, that are too much? That the God of the universe, who is love, has bound himself to us and requires of us our faith, and sometimes says, your faith hath healed you, and even your faith has saved you. What are you doing with that? Don't wait until you hear a clearer presentation or a better sermon about it before you decide how to digest. God wants you to believe and place your faith in him and let him take care of you and let your understanding catch up at some other time. Jesus has given us a pretty good example of what he means in the healing of the 10 lepers and the one Samaritan who returned to give thanks. Jesus says to him, not your understanding, not your honorable behavior, not your cleverness, not your accomplishments, not your entitlement, your faith hath healed you. Forget about the insurmountable problems of your life for a moment. What are you willing to do with that? And he said unto him, and Lord willing, one day he will say unto us all, in this world or the next, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.